Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and I'm your host, Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler, and I always say this, but I am so excited about our topic this evening and our show. It is April 28th, 2014, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but I know that most of you who are probably listening to this will be listening at some other time, but I just want to make sure that you know when this was recorded. And I am just, like I said, I'm so excited about the show that we have for you this evening. My special guest is Rebecca Stevens. Rebecca is a musician, and she's the director of children's music at the First Presbyterian Church in the city of New York. And we're going to be talking about music and children, but we're also going to be talking about women and the role that they play and in the church and the way that we see those roles really being transformative. I know that some of you who are listening are probably maybe church folks. You may be people who have been somehow disaffected by the church. We know that there's a lot of y'all out there. But we also know that, you know, some of you may be exploring, what does it look like? You know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a progressive Christian? We're welcoming any and all topics of conversation this evening, and I am just really pleased to have Rebecca as my conversation partner. Rebecca and I have known each other going on 7 years.
Yeah.
Rebecca worked in children's music with my husband, Gavin, at the Guilford Park Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. So good evening, Rebecca. How are you?
I am great, Jen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be chatting with you tonight.
Well, thanks. Well, what would you like my listeners to know about you?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot. You said a lot there. I am a children's music director. I am on the path to seminary and will be hopefully getting ordained in the next few years. So I certainly have a long-term goal to stay in the church and to stay playing lots of music. So I'm certainly a musician slash church lady.
Awesome. And not exactly the church lady that used to be on Saturday Night Live, right? Not the, isn't that special church kind of lady. But Rebecca and I were chatting a little as we were getting ready to come on the air this evening about women in the church. And I want to tell all of our listeners, Rebecca, about the project that I'm in the midst of that is being run by the Presbyterian women at the church where my husband serves as pastor in Katona, New York. And if any of you are in the Hudson Valley in the Westchester County area and you are listening to this, they have a rummage sale to end all rummage sales. Now, for most of you, probably the thought of participating in a rummage sale might make you, make your eyes cross or, might want to hurt yourself because, like, why on earth would you want to do this? But this sale is really something, the entire church involved in this. I mean, some people prepare food for the people who are working. Most church members donate things to be sold. The entire community donates things to be sold. They set up for 2 days on last Saturday and Sunday. Donations started coming in on Sunday afternoon. They're still accepting donations for furniture. If you all have things, they've been organizing their clothes and items for sale in what they call the toy tent. So if you have young children, the toy tent opens tomorrow. There's multiple tents. There's multiple different, organized spaces. There's sporting goods. There's furniture. There's lawn furniture. There's home health equipment. There is shoes and sweaters and holiday items and clothes and knickknacks and any kind of kitchenware that you might want, children's books. All of these things are sold over the course of a week. So today was the first day of the sale. Tomorrow will be the second. We'll go through Saturday morning, at which point everything that hasn't been sold by then is half off. And we clean up the church, and by 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, you will never have known that the sale happened. It's the most remarkable thing, and this has been done for decades by the Presbyterian women at the Presbyterian Church. And so it's organized and it's carried out by the women in the church. But like I said, it's an all hands on deck kind of experience. And it's a wonderful community experience. And no small amount of money is raised at this rummage sale. Last year, I think they cleared about $32,000 for the rummage sale, which is like crazy. I mean, that's an incredible amount of money, and that's not atypical for what they generally make, depending on what comes in and the quality and all of that. And this is the beautiful thing, every penny that is raised in rummage goes back out into ministry in the community. So individuals and groups, primarily groups, but individuals will bring, different causes or groups to the attention of the Presbyterian women, and they make the determination as to where the money will go and for what. So over the years, I mean, they have just they've supported battered women's shelters and the community center of Northern Westchester, and just so many different causes have been affected by the Katona Presbyterian Church rummage sale. So we are in the middle of it. It is a crazy week. Once I get off the phone with, or I get off the show with all of you, I am going to go make egg salad, because that's my donation, and I have to bring it tomorrow. So I'm sorry that you're not here, Rebecca, to experience rummage, because it is a blast. That's the thing. It is such a blast, and people have so much fun, and it really is sort of a community event. It also provides an opportunity for people who are in need to get really good stuff that they need, houseware, furniture, clothes, at a greatly reduced price. So, I mean, it serves the community in a number of ways, and it's just a really fun thing to be a part of. So, Rebecca, I'm sorry that that you aren't here. I wanted to it out there as something that, as an example of the way that women in this church have really been on the forefront of, we're going to go and we're going to make this money, and then we're going to determine where it can do the most good. And they are the women's group in the church is solely responsible for determining where all of the money goes, and it all goes to really good missions in the community, both locally and globally. So
that's great.
It's just such an exciting thing.
That's awesome.
So where have you seen women just, making incredible differences in your life and ministry, Rebecca?
Well, I'm talking to one of them right now, so there's a start. But really I can start with my childhood. I grew up in a very traditional small-town Presbyterian church, I had, all growing up, I had male pastors, the church leadership as far as the governance concerned, the governance was concerned, was mostly male. But I got to tell you, you know, I remember the women so much better, so much more clearly. You know, and a lot of it was like bake sales, you know, the Advent festival that we had every year, you know, circle, different charity organizations. And, you know, these women, though, were like, they always just showed up. And they just were always available. And I don't think that's because they had nothing to do. I mean, they just made themselves available. You know, I remember Betty Brown, she was always, like, coordinating the Advent Festival every year, and that must have been a huge job. She was also a public school teacher. So it's not like, you know.
Wow.
It's not like she was just sitting at home.
Right.
Jan Griffith decorates the church every year with magnolia from her yard. She spends an entire day, you know, I'm talking about at Christmas, doing all the Christmas, you know, greeting of the church. And she is a retired public school teacher, and she's been doing this for years and years and years. So, you know, these women in my childhood, of course, my mother taught Sunday school. My mother still now does all kinds of service-oriented projects for the church. And so, you know, these women are, I think, are my foundation for why I believe women can and should be a part are a part of the lifeblood of the church. And as I got older, I met more and more women who were in professional leadership in the church. And, you know, there's nothing more powerful than having a woman preach about the beauty of spirituality. It's one thing to have a man tell you something, but certainly if you've had bad experiences with men, or if you are seeking some spiritual guidance really relate to, as women, we need to be listening to women and speaking to other women.
Wow. Yeah, no, I think that's true, and I think that's really powerful. And I know that for me, as for you, Rebecca, I didn't have a whole lot of role models for women in professional ministry or in the pulpit when I was growing up. And it's been, you know, really amazing for me as both as a young adult and now as someone who's in middle age to continue to really appreciate the role that women pastors have played in my life pretty much from my college days moving forward. It really wasn't until I went to college where I knew any women who had been ordained. And that was a pretty powerful experience. I want to give out the call-in number just in case any of you who are listening tonight live would like to call in and be a part of our conversation. Feel free to jump in at any time. Our call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. I'll give that again. It's area code 646-716-9397. And make sure that you hit the number 1 key so that I know that you're interested in listening or in asking a question. Otherwise, I might just assume that you are you're listening, whether you're in the car or, you know, another place that you're not near your computer. You are able to, if you ever need to or want to listen live and you don't have access to a computer, you can call in to that number and just don't hit the key, but you'll hear the program as it is being recorded live. So, yeah, I was, you know, kind of coming back to this conversation around women's leadership and women's spirituality. As I was sharing with you before we came on the air, Rebecca, this past weekend I was with my brothers and sisters in the West Virginia region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We had our regional assembly, and I was blessed to be invited to give a talk at their women's luncheon, which happened this past Saturday. And really and truly, it really was a blessing. And you'll probably find this somewhat amusing. There's a children's song in the Christian tradition that is about deep and wide.
Oh, yeah.
And so I used that children's song, Deep and Wide, in order to sort of frame the and talk about the work that I do as a spiritual director, spiritual direction and life purpose coach. And really, as because what I'm finding and continue to work with both men and women, that deepening your spirituality, the deep piece, when you deepen your spirituality, then you're able to go wide with God's love. But we need to be tapped into the Spirit so that we can really be empowered to do wide ministry in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was wonderful. The women sang Deep and Wide with me. It was it was a lot of fun. Hopefully that when they sing, you know, or they hear children sing Deep and Wide, they'll think about that as one way to think about that song. And because, you know, it's funny. It's a children's song, and it's Christian, but it's kind of ambiguous.
Yeah.
So, you know, the folks who are listening, the lyrics are very simple. They just say deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide, deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. That's the sum and total of the lyrics. And it doesn't really go into what does that mean. I mean, what is it? Why is a fountain flowing deep and wide? But I do think it's a really wonderful analogy for our spiritual life, deepening our spiritual relationship, our relationship with God, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ for Christians, enables us to go out into the world and do ministry and live a life that is of the calling that we've received from Jesus Christ to serve in the world. And which sort of kind of leads us to your sense of calling and where you feel that God is calling you. So, I mean, what would you like to share about your journey and maybe sort of how that has gotten you to this place and going to seminary?
Yeah. it's funny. You know, people, I always thought that my quote-unquote call was to be a musician. I mean, I've always been a musician since the day, I mean, I was 3 years old when I formally started taking music lessons, but I was much younger when I started to sing. And so being a musician has always, I just always assumed that that was it. Like, I'm going to be a musician. But it always kind of felt incomplete. It didn't feel like enough. And I never really knew what the term call meant. Like, how are you called to something? Like, who? Like, nobody was calling me on the phone or calling me and telling me, like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And I never heard a call as a musician. I just always owned that as my thing. That was my thing. I was a musician. And so then when I came to New York, many things happened. I was in many a transition, and all the time opening myself to receive any kind of leadership and guidance I could get. And my leadership and guidance happened to come from the church, which was sort of surprising. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, you have a lot to do with that. And the leadership and guidance that I received started to cap at this idea of being more involved with the leadership of the church. And I started to, you know, it wasn't a call so much as it was a whisper. And for a long time, it was sort of like whispering to me, like, maybe this is something you should be thinking about, Rebecca. You know, the church has been a great refuge for you. Maybe you should work to create refuges for other refugees. So through the course of events, I got the job at the First Presbyterian Church. Like everything good in my life, it happened by almost complete accident. And I thought, well, you know, we'll see how this goes. You know, I haven't worked in a church in a long time. This is a big church and with a lot of big projects and big potential. So we'll see how it goes. So I went and I started the job, and very distinctly, that's when the call to ministry became, as I say, it became a shouting. I really heard whatever it is, whether it's the universe or whatever it was, saying to me, you are in the right place, Rebecca, and you need to enhance what you already have. I recently had the opportunity to, I didn't serve communion, but I didn't do the pastor part of communion, but I was given the opportunity to help serve communion, and it was a really, really spiritual experience for me to serve others. And again, I just heard the call shouting at me, you know, saying, "You need to be doing this. This is where you belong." When I applied to seminary, I am not an ideal candidate. I'll say that. I am not an ideal candidate, academically speaking, for a master's degree, and certainly for a master's degree from a very prestigious institution. But again, like everything good in my life, I was somehow granted or blessed or whatever you want to call it, being admitted to the seminary. I happen to know a lot of really good folks who helped me and pastored me through that process. So again, I find myself, I think and I hope and I believe, in the right place at the right time. And it's funny how your entire life you can kind of flounder around, but you know, when the time is right, it will just happen, and that's kind of how I ended up where I am now.
Mhm. Yeah. No. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think in very in a lot of ways we can. Things fall together, mm-hmm. and I've seen this happen over and over again. And for me, that has often and, you know, like I said, very frequently been an indication that I'm doing what God wants me to be doing.
Yeah. It felt like everything, you know. it felt like everything before I was swimming upstream. I was in a band in my 20s, and the music in this band was incredible. The chemistry between bandmates was incredible. But it was actually a really kind of unhealthy venture for me. And the whole time I felt like I was swimming upstream. I also got married, and again, the marriage was not healthy. It wasn't nurturing. And the whole time I was married, I felt like I was swimming upstream. And now, I feel like I'm like on a inner tube floating down a river with a beer in my hand.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, very often I think that this is the case when once we really find ourselves and really intentionally say, okay, God, it's not up to me, it's up to you, and where do you want me to be?
Yeah.
That things change as far as their ease or their difficulty. I mean, I've known that to be true for many people. Now, I know that that's not true for everyone. And if things are difficult, and I don't want anybody to get the impression that, you know, if things are difficult in your life, then that means that you're somehow not within God's will. My theology simply doesn't allow for that. You know, we do have difficult times in our lives, regardless of whether we are, we're God has called us to be or not. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to, to piggyback on that and to continue with the sort of river analogy. So many people, and God bless their, good intentions, but so many people I got advice saying, oh, you just got to let go, this sort of releasing, and then like things will come to you. It's not really like that. And it is very challenging, especially for folks who are in really challenging situations. You can't just let go. I mean, you can't just let go and quit your job. You can't just let go and abandon your family. For me, it was not about letting go. It was about pulling myself out of the rapids and being able to see the rapids ahead of me and learning how to circumnavigate them. And that is easier for some people than it is for others. And I've certainly had my own moments of, like, feeling myself getting caught up in the rapids. And, but, again, it's a learning process. And being able to discern when things are bad for you and how to get out of them will lead to so much goodness. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. You will find yourself surrounded by good people. You will find yourself surrounded by beauty, not because of like some magical thing that you let go and let God, but because you did that. You found those people and invited them and let them into your lives. You found that situation and let it into your life. And that, to me, is actually quite a bit more beautiful than just things happening because you let go. Not because you let go, but because you let something in and were able to push the bad out.
Yeah, no, and I think that's really important. I think that very often, and I'm going to continue with your river and your rapids analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we often see a raft that's going through the river as somehow being carried by the waves, which it is, the current, but when you are rafting and you're going through the rapids, you have to be paddling twice as hard
exactly.
as when you're in calmer water. And your yeah. guide will, you know, will yell, paddle, paddle harder.
Right.
And, you know, and we're all paddling with all of our might to get through the rapids. Even though
yeah.
it may appear from the outside as though we're just coasting. We're just riding
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's at least for me, that's been the case, you know, when I'm in the middle of the rapids, I'm relying on God and I'm paddling as hard as I can. So
yeah.
it's about, you know, it's about God carrying me through, and it's about God's expectation on me that I'm doing everything in my power to do this. So
yeah.
it's really
yeah.
that, I think, that partnership that I find. So I just want to let everyone know that we're at about, you know, halfway point through the show this evening. We'll be on until 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you would like to join us or you want to call in, please join the conversation. The call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So, Rebecca, you
yes.
are an accomplished musician. You do really a wonderful job, I know, just because I've experienced it, leading music and leading presentations with you. And I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about the kind of, you know, what are the things that you're really passionate about and really that you love about the work that you're doing at First Press in the City?
That's an awesome question. I love talking about my work. I do. It's I'm what I call a Pete Seeger musician. You know, Pete Seeger wrote songs that were not necessarily secular, but mostly Pete Seeger's songs are about justice. They are about peace. And my particular brand of theology, and this doesn't apply to everyone, but to me, the word peace is synonymous with the word God, and the word justice is synonymous with the word God. So my work with children is less about teaching children about church and more about teaching children about the world and how we can take these concepts of peace and justice out into the world. I think the best way to do that is to create a safe space for children to learn. And churches should be those spaces. My first goal with kids is for them to feel like they can come to First Presbyterian Church in the city of New York any Sunday
mm-hmm.
of the year and have a musical experience. We don't have a formal children's choir, mainly because I want everyone included. So we have just group singing time where we learn songs about peace and justice. And some of the songs that we learn are about Jesus Christ and his work with peace and justice. Some of the songs that we learn are in other languages. And we talk a lot about what it means to be a Christian in a very... In a world, especially I think where we are right now, in a world where the word Christian doesn't sound so good to some people, and rightfully so, because Christians have done some terrible things. Christians have not always behaved well. And
that's right.
And so I think it's important for kids to know, what it really means to be a Christian, and how, how can we pass that along to the folks in our community and also around the world. One of my proposals for next year is to have group singing time with other children's singing groups around the world via Skype. And that's, again, something that we can do with our technology to sort of connect with other folks and to take our message of peace and justice to other lands and to have them come to us as well, to teach us what they're doing and how they create peace and justice in their own communities. So that's sort of the broad answer. It's all about peace and love, which sounds very hippy-dippy, but, if we had a perfect world, we would have peace and love. So that's why I say I'm a Pete Seeger. I'm a Pete Seeger musician. And I also have somebody asked me one time how I keep the attention of the children. And I said, you talk really loud and you never stop moving. And if you can do those
That seems to work.
And that works. If you can do those things for about an hour, you will have the attention of every child in the room, and you'll have a blast doing it. So really, my job is about creating music with kids. I mean, who could complain about that? There is nothing more rewarding and more wonderful than having a big group of kids singing "If I Had a Hammer." I mean, or "Kumbaya." I mean, you just don't get any more rewarding than that. So that's kind of where I am.
It sounds amazing, and it sounds like what I love about the way that you perform, and that you, because you don't perform, but the way that you work with groups is to involve them.
Absolutely.
And so you involve the kids in in the process of making music. And I know that it doesn't bother you if a kid is not sitting in a chair and is on their back or because as long as they're participating and they're getting joy from the experience and that not just the music but that church is a good experience for kids and that they experience love and acceptance and joy from being at church, then I know that you feel as though your mission has been accomplished. So I'm going to I want to give our call-in number again and invite people to call in and join the conversation. It's area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And, I was just thinking, as we're on the topic of music and joy and, participating in a music and really a joyful experience and environment in a way that may be less than traditional for folks, I know I wanted to spend a little bit of time tonight talking about the Wild Goose Festival and the fact that that's going to be happening at the end of June, June 26th through the 29th at the Hot Springs Resort and Spa in Hot Springs, North Carolina. A wonderful, wonderful place in the mountains. to spend a summer weekend. Rebecca and I were there last year, and we were presenters at the conference, and it was not a conference. It is a music and arts and thought and conversation kind of place. One of my favorite events is Beer and Hymns, and folks are at a campground and people are camping or staying in some of the lodging in the nearby area. And there's a, you know, as a stage, and there's an area where you can get an adult beverage, and then we sit around and we sing hymns. Now, I know for some folks that they may not have that experience from the church and sort of know these songs, but there's something really joyful about being able to come together with other Christians who have who may have had different kinds of experiences growing up in the church. But the one reason why it's called the Wild Goose Festival is that in cultic Christian spirituality, the Holy Spirit is often described as a wild goose. And we've all heard the expression, you know, well, he's gone on a wild goose chase, because wild geese are known for not necessarily flying in formation. You know, we know about geese and we know about how they fly in formation, but wild geese kind of go where they feel the, you know, feel the spirit moving. And so the Wild Goose Festival, as I said, is in Hot Springs, North Carolina. It's the 26th to the 29th of June of this year, and I'm getting super excited. It's going to be here before we know it. And you can still buy tickets. And the tickets include a space for you to camp. So you bring your tent and you buy a ticket. You can bring your own food. You can buy food there. There's restaurants in the town that you can walk to from the campground. So there's just a whole lot of options for people. And so, Rebecca, what was your favorite thing about Wild Goose last year? And what are you looking forward to this year?
Man, you know, presenting is an amazing experience, especially presenting with you. That was really amazing.
We did have a good time. And we had a good group. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm disappointed, admittedly, that we are not getting to present together this year. But, man, like, the experience of attending is so powerful. You know, I really... As a musician, I've spent a lot of time at music festivals. I mean, when I was, you know, in my former life, I spent a lot of time at music festivals. But this particular festival was just, it was just so different in such a beautiful way. Everybody is sort of like, in it to win it. We're all in this thing together. And I really loved that I felt like, you know, we were sort of in a community, like you said, with other Christians. And it didn't feel, again, I'm always slow to use the word Christian because it doesn't have always good connotation for everybody. But this,
it has a very bad connotation for a lot of,
which is a shame, because this gathering of Christians in the mountains of North Carolina is the most beautiful and loving group of people that you could imagine. I want to mention, too, that this year it's being held on Pride Weekend, and I think that it's going to be a really amazing experience to be with these very progressive, very inclusive Christians on Pride Weekend. And I think it's going to be a really special experience to be amongst that community as we celebrate, you know, our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, and how, you know, we can all be better Christians and reclaim that term as you know, a term of love and peace and justice. So that to me is what Wild Goose is about. And also, it's also about taking what you learn and see there to your own church community. You know, we kind of go to Wild Goose to receive and to sort of, I mean, there's sharing, but also if you're going as an attendee, you're really getting this gift of receiving all of this information, inspiration, and the beauty of that is that you can leave and you can go back to your home church and say, hey, I went to this amazing festival this week, this summer, and I want to bring, you know, I want us to do a Beer and Hymns event here at our church, or I want us to have Nadia Bowles-Weber come and speak, or I think we should buy her book and study it in our, you know, book club. You know, all kinds of things that that you can take, you know, and take home with you, and again, spread the beauty of Christianity as it relates to peace, love, and justice. So that I think that's the beauty of Wild Goose.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think it's a really wonderful opportunity to. For some folks to really find a community of Christians that, you know, sort of understand Jesus as just this amazingly inclusive, loving, you know, Christ Messiah who came to transform our life now, to transform our lives in the next life.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's not all just about, you know, in the sweet by and by. It's like, how are we going to follow Jesus, and what does that look like, and how does that transform who we are in the world and what we do, and how can
and
we follow Jesus in a really in a way that has a lot of integrity. For the way that we understand Scripture and the Christian tradition.
Yeah, and I think sitting by the river, you know, up there in Hot Springs, North Carolina, and listening to the music in the background, hearing children laughing and playing, you can't tell me that that's not the sweet by and by. I mean, that right there is, you know, the definition to me of heaven. And I believe, again, this is my own personal theology, but I do believe that we can create heaven right here on earth. I think we were given the earth to create our own heaven, and I think that's a great places like Wild Goose and folks that attend Wild Goose and that present at Wild Goose are a great place to start to get the tools to create our own heaven right here on earth.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to, we have about 10 minutes left, Rebecca. I knew this would be easy and the time would go so fast, but I want to give folks another opportunity to call in and join the conversation with us. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. My special guest tonight is Rebecca Stevens. She's a musician. She's an incredible artist as well as a lover of children and a lover of God and a wonderful, wonderful friend. So I'm feeling very blessed to have her as part of our conversation this evening, and I'm hoping that if you're listening to this in the archives that you're being blessed by it as well. If you'd like to learn more about the Ministry of Spiritual Direction and Life Purpose Coaching that I do, I welcome you to go to my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. And I just, you know, I'm so blessed to work with incredible men and women who are really on a deep spiritual journey to learn more about what it is that God is calling them to be and to do in the world, and then live that out. So deepening their spirituality and then figuring out how to take that and broaden it into the world. Now, Rebecca, speaking about broadening things into the world, I know that you're also envisioning and engaging a new music project, and I'd love for you to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been years since I've really been in the studio to record anything, and like every other well-intentioned musician, I always have, quote, an album in the works. And so I, for several years, I've envisioned music to go on an album, and how would this look, and who would I hire to, you know, do my studio work, and which studio would I use, and how would I pay for it? And I think the how would I pay for it question is sort of always the hang up. So I am hoping within the year, and I'm hoping again to affiliate this with my seminary studies, to record a collection of songs of love and redemption. I am a product of love and a product of redemption. And there is a lot of music out there that speaks to those two blessings. And, you know, I live in New York City, and I have at my fingertips the most talented musicians in the world. And never in my life have I been so I don't know, resourced with talent.
Mm.
And you know, also with talented people who also happen to be really nice people. And I recently spent the day with a guy named Rick Snell, and if the listeners out there have a second to look at his stuff, he's one of the premier guitar players, bluegrass guitar players in the city, and certainly probably in our nation. He's extremely talented and also just a super nice guy. And you know, New York City musicians get a lot of bad press for sort of being snobby or exclusive, but these guys are super nice, and so I just want to take advantage of their talent and their you know, willingness to work with me and work through all of my ideas. So I think within the coming year I will have a project completed that will speak to people about the beauty of going, you know, coming full circle, the beauty of coming through the rapids and how that can, how it can be empowering to, you know, ride the rapids and go through them, but then also a blessing to come out on the other side. And, you know, if anyone's interested in that project, if anyone's interested in being a part of that project, they can certainly look me up on Facebook, and my Twitter handle is A New Rebecca. You can tweet me. And, again, I'm hoping to do this through the seminary, but if I do it privately, I'll run a Kickstarter campaign and crowdsource it. But if I go through seminary, I'm hoping to get some funding that way. So just, you know, for listeners, you know, hold that little project in the light, and if you can, and hopefully something will be coming out in a few months.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of, you know, a recording project that really focuses on, as you were saying, love and redemption. Mm-hmm. And there just is so much that we are, you know, we are products of our life, and we are blessed to be loved by our family and friends, and really, you know, and by God. And
yeah.
that redemption also flows both from, not just from God, but through our family and our friends. And we, you know, we come to know who we are in a much deeper place when we've
yeah.
had experiences of hardship and just real trial. And so when we're talking about redemption, I know that's one of the big, long church words, like normal people don't talk about redemption, but
mm-hmm.
that's a word where we're talking about the ways in which we can, you know, we've been through the trial and we've made it through. And
yeah.
so that's a simple way to talk
yeah.
about the concept of redemption, is just to know that, you know, we've made it through, and God has seen us through, our friends and our family have seen us through difficult times, and that is sort of an operational definition of what redemption, in my mind certainly, looks like. So are there other ways that you would, you know, like to let folks know that they, if they're interested in learning more about you and the work that you do, ways to be in touch with you?
Yeah, there's Rebecca Stevens Music on Facebook. You can like my page, and there's, again, I mentioned the Twitter, A New Rebecca. That's my Twitter handle. Also, you can look at the First Presbyterian Church in the City of New York's website. There's a little bit of information on there about me, but also my email address is on there, and you know, there are other ways to get in touch with me there. My website is sort of always under construction, but those three places are the best way to get in touch with me. You know, I'm in Manhattan, so if you're ever in Manhattan, you know, look me up for those nerds out there. And I'm always looking for new ideas, and anybody who likes to pick a few tunes, you know, I'm always open for a good jam session.
Yeah, amen. That's so great. And I just want to let folks know as we wrap things up that if you'd like to learn more about the work that I do, you can go on to my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com, which is SEED, Spiritual Coaching, which stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. And I had to laugh because we have not talked about Catalina, and she just brought herself right into the conversation. In case you were listening and you heard a dog barking in the background, that is Rebecca's little chihuahua, who is my husband
awful.
And I consider her our god dog. She is a chihuahua that is full of personality and has been a real blessing to us. So I had to bring Catalina into the conversation because
well,
we just adore her. That's right. She brought herself in. That's the thing. She is not to be left out of the
absolutely
conversation.
Absolutely not. She
That's
will not
right.
be upstage.
That's right. She will not be upstage. So anyway, please feel free to be in touch with me. You can email me at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. You're always welcome to get in touch with me through Facebook at Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. You can like that page. You can also find me on Twitter at Coach Rev Jen. I'm a certified professional coach, an associate certified coach through the International Coaching Federation, as well as a Master of Divinity from the University of Chicago. So if you're interested in learning more, as I said, please go to my website, contact me through that, and I will really look forward to being in touch and being in prayer with all of you. So until our next show, which is going to be on Monday, May the, spacing on the date, May the 12th at 8 p.m. We're always on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. And I will look forward to speaking with you all then. God bless. Bye-bye.